Welcome to the Pain to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed, and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships, and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator, and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery, and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. Hi everybody, and welcome to episode 15 of the podcast. It's good to be here as always, and I had an interesting reminder for myself personally, and also a client of mine during the week realized something for herself as well, which I'd love to offer you, which is that it's always important for you to come back to what's right for you with this work. So if you've been listening to this podcast, or if you're working with me, or if you are following one of my courses or reading other people's work in this particular field of healing and the menstrual cycle and chronic pain or any other kind of healing from suffering, that it's really important that you regularly come back to what's right for you in this moment in time, because what can happen is we can outsource a lot of our discernment and our trust and our intuition onto other people. And while sometimes we do need support, it's important that the supports encourage us to come back to our own discernment and our own intuition and our own knowing what's right for us. And that happened for me, for myself personally today, where a friend had to remind me that even though something might be helpful in theory, it wasn't necessarily helpful for where I was at. And the same thing with a client. She was saying that she was really enjoying listening to the podcast and she was getting a lot out of it. But the recent episode on sexism and misogyny, she said she didn't really want to listen to it just yet because she wasn't in a place to listen to that. And I really want to honor that and respect that and think that's more important than anything. Having said that, I was just looking at the statistics and it is one of the most popular episodes so far. So I think that says a lot. But yeah, just really, really important to come back to you, to come back to what's supportive in any given moment. And I'm going to invite you to think about that as we open up today's topic. So today's topic is soothing pain. So in particular, menstrual pain or PMS pain, physical pain, or if you have any kind of inflammation or even things like fibromyalgia or any kind of chronic pain condition that you have, that whether it's always there or gets triggered by something or that's linked to the menstrual cycle, I'd love to offer you some supports for you to think about and some guidance and some things that you can consider implementing into your self-care routine. And yeah, hopefully these will be like a few little tools to add to your toolkit for when you experience pain or if you want to prevent pain from coming in the first place. It's funny, I'm sitting here as I'm recording and noticing that, like, you know, when you start a podcast, you start to get very used to the sound of your own voice. And you know, I'm starting to kind of really notice the nuances in my own voice, and I'm trying to figure out how to reduce the S's because my S's are quite sharp and I don't think I necessarily need to do that. But also I don't want to have my audio set up in such a way that they're kind of like dominating the sound, you know, so that's something that's just kind of on my mind now. And I thought I'd share because that's always part of the process, is how I'm recording and technology and all that is happening very much so in the background. So I thought I'd give you a little sneak peek into that. So yeah, I'm going to talk about soothing pain, soothing chronic pain, and I'm going to offer you a lot of things that I've tried and things that are researched and things that are, you know, my clients use and other people use. And before I do that, I want to remind you that, you know, you can obviously take all these pieces of advice and try them all. And, you know, you might be thinking like, Lisa, why are you giving away all this information on your podcast? Like, why are you giving away all this free content away? And like, what's the point of me doing coaching if I can just listen to the podcast or take one of your courses? And that is true. You can absolutely do that. And you can try that. And I think that's really, really important. And I love to offer as much value as I can to everyone. Not everyone can work with me, not everyone has the time to work with me, not everyone can afford to. But if you are interested in investing in one-to-one support, then I would say there is a big difference between doing it yourself and, you know, trying to journey the journey yourself and doing one-to-one work. Because in the coaching, what I'm doing is, it's very different to what I'm doing on the podcast. What I'm doing is I'm engaging in your process. I'm working with you. I'm meeting you where you're at. We're working with the dynamic of who you are, your relationship with self-care, your relationship with all of the content that you are learning, blocks along the way. It's deeply, deeply personal work. And it's also like very relationship focused. And when I say relationship, it's like we're working with the relationship with you, with yourself, with self-care, with chronic pain, other relationships in your life that are a part of that. It's very holistic. It's very systemic, meaning that like nothing becomes not relevant if it shows up in the space. We do a lot of mindset work. We do trauma recovery if appropriate. I'm currently training in a process called somatic experiencing. I'm in my intermediate level now, and I'm able to weave in some of that work into coaching, which has been really fabulous because that's really bringing a somatic, like body-based approach to working with certain emotions and certain thoughts. And we work very specifically towards your goals, towards where you want to get to. And I help you build your capacity in self-coaching and in working towards your goals and supporting you to level up in your life in the context of your health and wellness, your relationship with yourself, your confidence. And yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. We do great work together. I actually finished a 3-month process with a client yesterday. So that's what I offer first, is a 3-month container. And we do a good bit of work, but I also do it in a way that it's not a lot of work. And I think that was one of her main takeaways from the process, was that she said to me yesterday, she said, "I feel like I've just achieved so much and it's just completely changed my life, but I haven't had to effort so hard." And I think that's been the main thing. She hasn't had to effort so hard. This woman has a job, she's got kids, you know, she's busy and she doesn't have a lot of time and energy to be kind of doing self-care and self-development work. So there are ways that we can do that to make it pleasurable, to make it easy, and to make it not feel like it's a problem that we have to kind of, you know, encounter every single day. And I was just so impressed with her. I have to get her on the podcast and get her to share some of her journey with the one-to-one coaching process. But it was very powerful work, and I was just so chuffed and pleased and impressed with her and with myself, and the feedback that she gave me was really, really powerful. So I hope to have her on and she can then share with you how the one-to-one coaching process has been. So yeah, if you're interested in working with me, and if you feel like that would benefit you, if you feel at a place where you're ready to invest in that, ready to do some deeper work, do some process work, do some mindset work, maybe trauma work, whatever you feel I could potentially help you with, then don't hesitate to book a consult call with me. Just get onto my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com. And book a consult call with me, and we can just have a chat. It's a no obligations conversation, and we can see if it's a good fit, and then you can decide whether you want to do some coaching work with me, and that will be it. And I'll make sure to pop that link into the show notes here as well for you, so that you can just click on over there and pop a date in the diary and we can have a cup of tea. And yeah, it'd be great to meet you. Okay, so let's talk about pain, and I'll start with the obvious point: painkillers. And we did talk about this back in the episode on the inner winter of the menstrual cycle around taking painkillers. And so my kind of top tip here is to take painkillers and to not feel guilty about taking painkillers, and to not have to have a martyr mindset around taking painkillers or feel like, you know, afraid of them or something, because there can be, especially if you've spent a lot of time in the holistic wellness space, I think there can be a lot of pressure to get to a place of not needing painkillers. And I just don't know how helpful that is, especially if you're suffering every month, you know. And I think it's a lot to ask of ourselves to get ourselves to whatever place this place is, to be able to like not have pain, that we don't need painkillers. And I don't know. Obviously, it depends case by case, but I've had that said to me quite a lot when it comes to endometriosis pain and period pain. And while I do agree that there are lifestyle changes that very often do need to be looked at, or environmental toxins or nervous system regulation or trauma healing or how we navigate our energies, and those are all the things that I do talk about, those things can sometimes only take you so far. And if you do have chronic pain with your periods and you're floored with them and you're finding yourself telling yourself that you shouldn't take painkillers, I would just really like ask yourself why, and just take them, because your life will be a lot easier. And this work isn't about being the martyr or doing it right. This work is about quality of life. At the end of the day, we really have to think about like, what's the purpose here? What's the purpose of my recovery? What's the purpose of my work? And on my choices, and to come back constantly, be coming back to your purpose and your goal and your decisions and your discernment, and making sure that your well-being is at the front of that, you know, and that you're not taking on other people's opinions or society's opinions or certain groups' opinions around certain things, and that you can discern for yourself. So it is my personal and professional opinion that you should take painkillers when you're in pain. So take them. And obviously, with the supervision of your doctor and your pharmacist, always really good to talk to your pharmacist. I actually think that they know a lot about this stuff. In Ireland, aspirin or so non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs such as aspirin or ibuprofen, which is also known as Nurofen as the brand name here in Ireland, is an excellent painkiller for pain. It's anti-inflammatory and it can be really, really good for period pain. And if you are someone who gets really bad inflammation, really bad pain, and you also get like a fever with your pain, then combining that with paracetamol, I believe is called Tylenol in America, and then the ibuprofen is called Advil. So those two things can be safely taken together. However, please do speak to your doctor and or your pharmacist before you do that. And yeah, they can just be a really good combination to have. Now, I would avoid codeine, as I said before, because codeine, even though it is a very good painkiller, it can contribute to a side effect of constipation. And when we are constipated and our pain is relating to our gut health and or our menstrual health, it's just not great. And it can kind of prolong the pain then in the week or the month that you have period or endometriosis pain. So just be aware of how you respond to codeine and how you take ibuprofen or Advil and paracetamol or Tylenol. I also want to remind you that when you do take an anti-inflammatory painkiller such as Advil or ibuprofen, and you are someone who gets period pain regularly, or you have endometriosis, or you have some kind of cyclical element to the pain, or you know the pain, you have a signal in your body where you get anxiety before you get pain, or you get a twinge before you get pain, or there's some kind of signal where you know. Like even with a migraine or a very strong headache, people will often get like certain kind of signals. They might get lightheaded or nauseous beforehand, and then the pain can get a lot worse. So I would encourage you to take it with those signals, with the onset of those signals. So for me, I take the painkiller with the onset of menstruation or with the onset of those initial signals of pain, because it helps to bring down the pain signals. It helps to bring down all those pain chemicals that can really flare up in your body. And it can then help to prevent the pain from getting way worse. So don't be afraid to take painkillers. Obviously, take the right amount. Speak to your doctor, your pharmacist, and follow all the instructions on the packaging. And then just mind yourself when it comes to that, like guilt and the way we speak to ourselves when we take painkillers. Then the next thing I have on my list for soothing pain is breathing exercises. So breathing exercises, you know, they sound a bit fluffy, but they are researched and very, very powerful. And maybe you've tried them already. I do them when I'm in pain and they really, really can help. So I've got a couple here to, I don't know if I can demonstrate this on a podcast, but I'll give it a go. I will certainly describe them. But what they do is they regulate the nervous system. They activate what's called the vagal nerve. And when that's activated, when we can get our nervous system down, our body goes into more of a rest and digest place in the nervous system. And when we can avoid that like fight or flight place, which is very natural, when we go into pain, we go into self-protection mode and our whole body tenses up and we might have a lot of fearful thoughts, and a lot of anxiety comes with pain and fear of pain comes with pain. So what we want to do is try and regulate the emotional experience, because pain is both a physical and an emotional experience. So we want to try and, you know, work with the emotional part and bring that down and through our physiology. So breathing exercises can be really good for that. So one of them is called the golden thread breath. And this is from yoga. Now, I got this from a yoga teacher who specializes in women's health yoga called Uma Dismortulli. And I believe it's kind of, I'm not sure if, I don't think it's her particular exercise, but it's a yogic breath, and it's the golden thread breath. And what it is, you inhale through your nose, deep inhale through your nose. And then when you exhale, you bring your lips together, kind of purse together, like a little bit of space between your lips for a little bit of air to come out. And you imagine a golden thread coming out through your lips into the space around you, and it's just landing around you, this golden thread. So it's like the space between your lips where the air is coming out is just enough space for a thread to come out. And that allows for a very controlled, slow, regulated exhale. And then that helps to bring that nervous system regulation in. So I'm going to see if I can do it here. Let's give it a go. So we inhale. Well, let's do it together. If you're listening to this, you can do it with me. So let's inhale through the nose. Nice deep breath. And then we're exhaling golden thread breath through our lips. Purse the lips. So you might want to try that a few times. So I'd say do it maybe two or three times, three or four. If you're in pain, if you're lying, you know, you're lying in bed waiting for your painkiller to kick in, you can do that golden thread breath and make those inhales nice and deep and then those exhales really slow and long. And then you don't even have to do it as a golden thread breath. You can just remember long exhales. So if you're breathing in for three or four counts, then breathe out for double that. So breathe out for like six or eight counts and really slow down the exhale. And that helps to slow down the heart rate. It helps to bring that vagal nerve toning in. And it just does. It can, after some time, you do have to be patient with it, but after some time it does bring regulation into the nervous system, and you might not necessarily feel less pain, but it can really do a lot of good for bringing down any kind of panic or fear or a racing mind, and that helps to relax the body, and it can kind of prevent then pain from spreading. And then the third one I have here written down is a double inhale. So this is where we kind of split our inhale in half or into thirds. Even you can do triple inhale, and it's what you see a child doing. So a child, when they're crying, or say if a child falls over and has been hurt and then they burst into tears, that's a very natural response. And then a caretaker, an adult, will come over to them and pick them up and soothe them, and then hopefully that adult will allow that child to cry. And then after, once that cry kind of starts to come down, then after a few moments, then the child will naturally start to go into this kind of like double or triple inhale. And that's their nervous system regulating again after something that was scary to the child or something that was shocking, and their whole nervous system has gone into a place of fight or flight. And once they're in safety and in connection again, they're coming back into regulation. So their nervous system and their breath does this kind of automatic double or triple inhale. So it goes a little bit like this. Not sure if you can hear that through my microphone, but you can, as an adult, we can also use that as a way to regulate our nervous system. As I said, it's really handy if you're nervous, say if you're just about to teach or just before an interview or something, or, you know, something scary happens while you're driving the car, you notice yourself feeling a lot of anxiety afterwards. You can actually bring yourself down by doing this kind of double or triple inhale. It's actually lovely. So you might want to do it with me. You might want to pause the podcast and try that a few times and see how, yeah, just notice your body, see how your body responds when you do that. Then the next thing I have on my list, I love this one. It's called, I've written it down as dropping into your animal self. And so what I mean by that is that we're very socialized as humans, that we shouldn't really express ourselves, or we should kind of keep ourselves contained all the time. And we should kind of be prim and proper, you know. And if you're in a lot of pain, or if you're giving birth, you know what I mean? Like, you want to kind of come into that animal part of yourself and allow some expression, some movement that's natural. That's not kind of like, oh, I should be doing this. I should give birth in this position. Or I should, if I'm in menstrual pain, I should be lying down, curled up in bed. And really allow yourself to drop into yourself. If you have safety, if you feel comfortable in a particular environment, or if you have some privacy to do this, it's a lot easier if you have privacy. But just getting yourself into your comfortable tracksuit bottoms, lying out a yoga mat, putting out some blankets and some cushions, and just allowing whatever movement comes up in your body to be there. Maybe you have a bolster as well, like one of those big cushions that you can bend over. And allowing yourself to just move or sway, or if you need to do hip circles, or if you need to stretch out your, I don't know, your neck or your spine, or you want to massage your feet, or you want to massage your belly, or whatever. It's just, you're not even thinking about it. You're just allowing your animal self, your animal self, to kind of take over, and you're allowing yourself to drop into that and trusting that that part of you, that instinctual primal part of you, knows what it needs. Because when we're in pain and we're tense and we're also holding ourselves because of social conditioning and we're trying to, like, you know, stay on form, it's a lot of tension to contain in the body when we need to actually come into that animal part and allow ourselves to stretch and release and move, not in any particular choreographed way, but rather in a very, like, intuitive, somatic, physiological way. So I'd encourage you to try that. You want to loosen, you want to soften, you want to let go of tension. And I'd also add in here, you can also bring in your voice. So there's this thing called the sphincter lull, which is the muscles and shape and energy of the larynx, the voice, mirror that of the pelvic floor for women. And therefore, when we're in menstrual pain, or if we're having orgasm, or you're birthing, it's very important that you use your voice and allow noise and sound to come through. It's an energy, it's a release of sorts. And so just let yourself howl or cry or yell if you feel like comfortable to do so and you have an appropriate private setting or environment, or even if it's just a little bit of noise coming through, just let yourself do that and just notice how you feel. That's another really handy little tip for pain. And then the next one I have on the list is mantras. So I really like mantras, and I'd encourage you to write your own mantra, because that's all about that piece again of coming back to you and trusting yourself with your own process and your own intuition and what comes up from you. And I have some mantras in one of my courses. If you have a look on my website, I have a courses section and you can download. I think it's the course for chronic pain and nervous system regulation for trauma and chronic pain. But yeah, one of the mantras, if you are a woman or a person with a menstrual cycle listening to this who's suffering with pain, one of the mantras I like to use is, and you can touch your forehead and your heart and your womb space as you do this, and wherever you feel moved, I think it's really nice to bring touch into this experience. So you could be sitting on the loo, or you could be lying in bed in pain and you're waiting for it to pass. And rather than just kind of feeling sorry for ourselves, can we really soothe ourselves and can we bring some comfort to ourselves? So the mantra would be something like, I am safe to be a woman. I am safe to menstruate, and I'm safe to let go. I'm safe to be a woman. I'm safe to menstruate. I'm safe to let go. Because menstruation is a form of surrender in the body. So socially, we've internalized a lot of shame around the menstrual cycle. And I think that that can show up on a physiological level. So the more we can work with releasing that shame and allowing our tissues, the very core of us, to drop and surrender to the process of menstruation, it can really be helpful for pain and just healing our relationship with our female selves and our wombs and our menstrual cycle and all that. Then the next one I have on the list, I'm sure you've already done this, but I just thought I'd mention it, is anti-inflammatory teas. I'm a big fan of lovely herbal teas. So you can make, ginger is really good for pain, as is turmeric or mint, chamomile, marjoram, lavender. So you can make your own tea, or you can pop into your local health food store and they might have a lovely organic tea for you. Or I quite like to make just ginger tea, great ginger and lemon, maybe even some cloves and honey or something. And yeah, whatever you feel like tastes good for you and that you enjoy having, and just sip away on that. Then the next thing on the list I have here is processing emotions. I think that's really important, that we do have space in our lives for emotional processing. And we learn to build the skill of being able to process through difficult emotions. Because if we're traveling through life without really feeling our feelings, that I do believe that can build up over time as a lot of tension in the body. So if you need support with that, I can help you with that. That's a big, huge, big part of my coaching practice, is to build safety within your physiological and psychological self with difficult emotions. And it can be really, really hard for some people, especially if you have a history of trauma or just, like you're not used to that. So that's definitely something I can help you with. But it's really, really good thing to do, and to do it in a way that it's paced and gentle and somewhat comforting. It's not going to be comfortable, but you don't want to be too dysregulated by learning that skill. You want to be pacing yourself and just taking your time. So that's also important. And then lastly, I'd say that another really important thing for pain, whether you're in pain or you suffer with pain a lot, is connection. So when we connect with people and we're connected to a community and we have support, then we're able to access this part of the nervous system called co-regulation. And through co-regulation, we're able to drop more regularly into the rest and digest place of the nervous system. So think about the people in your life who you feel really safe with, who you feel really support you, who you feel like you can be completely yourself with and you can let your defenses down with. Those are the people who are medicine for your life. And so maybe you don't have enough of those people. So you want to think about how you can start to cultivate more of those relationships into your life, or, invest in coaching and work with me or work with a therapist or someone else who can support you with the connection piece. It's really, really important. or just hang out with a friend. Don't isolate in pain. You know, isolation, I think there's a difference between solitude and isolation, and we want to learn to discern between the two, because if you're an introvert like me, the default can be solitude, thinking this is good, I need lots of solitude, I need lots of alone time. But it can then kind of creep into isolation, and we want to kind of learn the difference between the two in ourselves. And we do that by coming up against our edges with that stuff, you know, and we learn that through overextending ourselves with people or going way too far into isolation. And then you learn kind of how much connection you do need in your life. And we're never going to get it right either. So don't put too much pressure on yourself for figuring that out. But I just think that having connection and having community is very important, especially if you're in pain. And even if it just means like reaching out with a text message while you're in pain, because it can be a lot of pressure to have to like show up somewhere or even have someone over, and you can feel very exposed if you're in pain and someone comes to visit, and if you're used to like having your house in order and having the kettle on and being a really like welcoming host, then it can be a bit exposing then to be a person who needs help. So do it in a way that works for you. And that's one of the reasons why when people sign up for my coaching packages is that I offer access to me for support over messaging and email and then brief phone calls between our sessions for that reason, because you can very much find yourself, you know, we can have a great coaching session and we do really good work in it, but then 2 or 3 days later or a week later, you're finding yourself in a moment of difficulty and you need connection there and then. So that's where that comes in, that part of the container and the coaching package comes in. And then lastly, as part of that, I've written down comfort and distraction. Comfort is very important. Obviously, rest, if you're in pain a lot, resting is very important. And distraction, and I mean like healthy distraction, not like distraction watching, you know, like scary movies that are going to activate you, or like scrolling on social media and comparing yourself to everyone. You want nourishing distraction. So watching a cookery show or a lighthearted movie or a comedy or, you know, something kind of something light, something that's going to nourish you, because it's very hard to be with pain. And when you're in a lot of pain, we spend a lot of time with ourselves. We do get close to ourselves when you're someone who suffers with pain. You really get to know yourself as someone who experiences a lot of physical pain, you know, because you're with yourself a lot. But it's important that you're also not putting too much pressure on having to kind of like figure yourself out and allow yourself to have distraction and comfort and nourishment. So those are my tips for soothing pain. If you have any other suggestions, I'd love to hear what works for you. You can write into me, lisa@lisadioncoaching.com. And if you would like personalized one-to-one support, and if you're interested in signing up for my 3-month coaching container and doing some deeper work with me, I'd love to hear what you want to work on and how I could possibly support you get to the place you want to be. So just book a consult with me on my website, lisadioncoaching.com, and I'll pop the link in the show notes. So have a lovely rest of your week. All my love for the week ahead, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.